Welcome to Delay of Game, episode 8. I'm Jeff Gaucher.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jacob.
And Will.
All right, well, we're back in the swing of doing this weekly. So this is twice in a row since we took a break. That's a bigger streak than the Saints have. So.
Oh, God. Wait, before we get to that, we are brought to you unofficially and in no way, shape, or form by the fine folks of Ambito with their Wrought Iron IPA.
Yeah, they did not sponsor us. I went to the store and bought this six-pack of their new Wrought Iron IPA. I would say, we actually haven't talked about beer too much lately. This is probably one of the best new, like, year-round, I'm assuming year-round, Abitas it's pretty good. It's crisp. It's a little citrus. I could see this being good springtime, so, you know, like crawfish boil.
And refreshing. I don't say this lightly. But I firmly believe that this Abita Wrought Iron IPA is the best beer that tastes like a fence that I've ever had.
it really is wrought iron. Like
it does have that kind of irony.
It's bold. I'm glad they came out with it in winter. I think you could have it in summer, but you know, I prefer a little bit more summery IPAs with like
more
citra hops.
That's why I was saying spring, because like, you know, it's cool. It's not cold. It's not hot. Cool.
Well, spring and summer is more for your white picket fence IPA, right? Or your white picket fence saison.
Why is it got to be white picket fence?
Well, yeah.
Hey, you read
reminds me of summer.
You read Huck Finn. No, I'm not talking about that part of Huck Finn. I'm talking about how he was painting the fence.
All right, Mr.
Tom
Jim.
Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer, thank you.
Nobody's calling anybody N-word Jim on this podcast. All right.
Somebody rewrote that book, by the way, and replaced the N-word with robot, and it sounds amazing.
Robot Jim?
Yeah, like, that just sounds fucking cool as shit.
I feel like
let's go down the river there, Robot Jim.
Right, like, they should just, any book that, like, used the casual racism of the time, just replace the N-word with robot, and I think everybody would be happier.
Until you come across some, like, professor in African American studies, he's like, why are we robots? Like, that just implies...
Because they're superior beings compared to humans that are flawed and terrible.
You know whoever reads that, though, is not going to read that way into it, right? Like,
are we're getting at something deeper here, though. Are they beings?
Ooh, well... according
what,
to the
robots?
Three rules... Oh,
we're talking
laws,
about robots.
The three laws from Isaac Asimov. They are, but they also, you know, well, in a way, yes. In a way. What is a being? Is a being having a soul? Or is a being just something that exists in the world? A tree? Is that a being?
Okay, we're not going over 16th century German philosophy right now, but it's interesting that y'all mentioned that. Hawking came out last week and talked about one of the things that is scary is that artificial intelligence is starting to hit that threshold where... like within a little bit, it's starting to fix its own programs, which could lead to the whole it repairing itself and making executive decisions about how its programs run. Which, in less fancy terms, Hawking was like, "Beware of the Skynet, because it's coming." But it's definitely weird when you have somebody
the
who's that brilliant who's saying, "No, this is a real thing." But let me hop back real quick. I will say I have loved the cold weather lately.
Yeah.
My favorite aspect of the cold weather when it comes back to booze is you can have big old hoppy winter warmers and IPAs and whiskey, you know?
I'm about to get back into my scotch kick.
Yeah, I mean...
gone away, but I'm going to hit it hard.
Never really does it?
Not too hard, Mom and Dad, if you're listening.
You're not. But, you know, that's going hand in hand with right now we're having a huge freak out. A lot of the Asian countries are buying up mass quantities of all whiskey. We're about to go through a severe bourbon shortage.
Japan, we talked about this before, that Japanese
Suntory
distillery.
Bought Jim Beam, so it's Suntory Beam, and they think that the reason the company did it was actually to have bourbon on hand to sell to Asian markets.
Mm.
You will probably come to a point in the next few years where all custom bourbon, small batch bourbon, all that stuff will be exorbitant. They're talking about Elijah Craig right now. He used to sell... four or five years ago when I worked at Martin Wine Cellar up in Baton Rouge, you could get a 12-year, which was unheard of, age that long, for like $20, and the 18 was like $35. They pulled the 35 and the 12. I believe they're both discontinued, and now they are selling a 21 and 23, which just means they let it sit in the barrel longer, for a total of 275.
Wow.
So whiskey is about to become a luxury item, or we're all going to start drinking Jameson again.
Or a plastic handle of Evan Williams.
Well, you know, I thought all those barrels of Jameson were really old anyway. They got lost in the bottom of the ocean or something.
And then Cthulhu, I think.
Yeah, like, Cthulhu was involved somehow.
That and the Hawk of Ackle, which I don't think is a real thing, but he's really huge and snatches up whiskey barrels.
Yeah.
If being alive in modern era has taught me anything, is that everything in TV commercials is accurate. So
it's true.
Yeah. Like, if you're sinking in a canoe and you got your girlfriend with you, she can pull out a tampon and stick it in the boat. You
know, absolutely, man.
It's true. It might hold up for a good extra 3 seconds.
Science.
Yeah.
Depends on whether or not the leak is a lighter.
Well, it depends on the brand of the tampons. And, I mean, if it's an off-brand, you're dead, man. You're going to drown to death.
Right?
But, speaking of holes that need to be plugged up, how about that Saints offense?
Oh, my God.
Not good.
As soon as you brought up the hole in the canoe with the tampon, I was like, yes, this is our segue.
I mean, is anybody really surprised? I mean, no. We super shat the bed, and like I said before, we have the ability to shit the bed faster than, you know.
Well, that is true.
Well, speaking of poop, actually,
the Saints offensive line.
Right before we started recording, we recorded the lovely hashtag Studio of Jeff in Chili Gentilly every time we get together.
Oh, yeah, it is chilly.
It's very nice. I had to go number one before we started, and I went into Jeff's restroom, I noticed his ticket to the Saints game was right next to the toilet, so I'm just wondering, are you planning on wiping your butt with it or something?
I actually, you know, I took it out of my pocket because it was, like, poking me because it's such a long ticket. It was poking me in my pocket the day I came home, so I just put it on there before I went and, sat down and did a little number deuce. And afterwards, I stood up and I saw it on the counter, and I was like, actually, a really funny picture to post on the internet would have been to, like, just throw it in the toilet and, like, take a picture of it about to go down the drain. But then I was like, I don't know if I'm going to reach in and pull it out fast enough. I might actually clog up my toilet, so probably not.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but pretty much that lackluster performance on Sunday almost entirely precludes us winning the NFC South.
No. You're quite the opposite.
I thought that Carolina would have to beat Atlanta and then we would be even. Atlanta. And they would win the head-to-head.
No,
Atlanta losing to the Packers was good for us.
Right. Well, the Saints and Atlanta are still tied atop the division at 5-8.
It's a race for the bottom.
And
it really is.
The Panthers are a half game behind Saints and the Falcons right now. So 3 games to go. It's essentially a 3-way tie. Right. Yeah. The Saints are, you know, like I said last week, I said they control their own destiny. They still control their own destiny, despite that epic shit show of Titanic proportions that we witnessed on Sunday.
Got to witness firsthand. I got to be there, and my beers cost more than the points that were on the board.
That's true.
Spent more dollars than they earned points.
What is it? What is a beer at the Dome?
$9.50.
It's $9 in the terrace for a bottle beer.
In the club level where I didn't pay for the tickets. They were free. I sure as shit did not spend $240 on a fucking ticket. Which, by the way, if I had that money, though, it's pretty nice. The only thing that sucks is those people don't give a shit about the game. So, like, when, like, you know, during third downs or any possession by the opposing team, like, I'm, like, yelling and screaming and all the people with me, you know, that's going on. But then, everybody else is just like, we're sitting here in our fancy seats. I much prefer being in the cheaper seats because those people actually give a shit. It's just like the Roman Empire and your kings and stuff ruled. Had a lot of money and did things. I'm just rambling now. Please, someone save me.
So wait. The club's the second level, right?
Yeah, that's the 200 level seats.
Okay, and why would they not give a shit? I would think they'd have a good view of it. Or were you? Up
oh no, it's a great view. Depends. It's just they're there. It's a status thing.
It's when you go into the club. What he's talking about.
You go there. To you in suites?
No. Just club level.
Oh.
You can go in the club. You know, the padded seats with the cup holders and.
Yeah. Well, my uncle used to work for him. That's where they would have a lot of the players' friends and wives.
Yeah,
and like
there's definitely people that I see there because my mom's boss buys them every. He has season tickets in that level, and instead of him going to the game all the time, There's like a schedule where everyone in the office gets his four tickets, and then my mom just gives them to me and my sister, and then we take somebody with us. There are people I recognize from doing it over the years, but we are probably some of the louder people in the section, which is really sad because like I'm A, not that type of person, and B, like, come on, you're at a friggin' Saints game. Even though like even when they're winning, it's like
that. But you're probably sitting there with all these people who have corporate tickets, so they're probably not wanting to be loud because, like,
that's true.
You know, you act like an asshole, and then your boss hears Monday, hey, from his friend who he sits next to you.
Drunk Joe, yeah. Freaking puked all over the old lady who, by the way, she said, like, I couldn't tell you how old she is, but I can tell you she has literally smoked every cigarette ever produced.
That's true.
Her voice is like, ugh.
You know, I didn't.
She looks
think...
like the lady from those Hallmark cards. It's like, I have my coffee and my cigarettes, all I need for the day. Happy birthday.
You know, I didn't think the volume of the crowd, the noise level of the crowd, was a problem.
No.
On Sunday, because that the continuing chorus of boos was very loud.
You know, there definitely were some fan impact plays, or there were some that the upstairs booth went, oh yeah, fan impact play, because this is the loudest anyone's been the whole game. We'll just say you influenced the fact that that turnover happened or whatever. But yeah, it was not loud during unless they put up the sign like, hey, get loud, it's the third down. No one was, it was quiet.
I don't know.
Except for the booths, especially when they left the field.
That siren was pretty loud.
Oh,
because
God.
You would hear that on the television, man. And you're like, go away.
It's so bad. You know,
we should bring up the hashtag stop the siren.
Well, here's the thing, is the siren, I having only been to a couple of games this season, I was like, well, you know, I don't think it's that bad. Like, the last one I went to with UJ, like, I was like, yeah, it wasn't so bad, but I could see how it'd be annoying. But because the Panthers kept getting to third down so often, because the Saints were just being bad, well, I guess that doesn't necessarily mean they're being bad, but they had a lot of possessions, so there were a lot of chances for third downs, and so I heard a lot. And then once I, like, realized it was happening, I was like, no, this is terrible. I can't. It's like, you can't unhear it.
That siren's terrible. It's even worse than the 1994 Hugh Grant movie Sirens, which is sort of redeeming because it has boobs in it.
Or the, what, 2001 movie Signs, which sounds like sirens if you say
kinda.
It wrong.
That also, that
or
movie
like,
was also garbage.
You didn't chop that section out.
Sure.
That
or like that, you know, really older movie called The Odyssey with actual sirens.
That's true. Ooh, bringing out the mythology.
That was actually a book, Will, long before it was a movie.
It was an NBC original.
They made a book out of
original
that?
Original means first, Matt.
Yeah, they made a book out of
it. I didn't know they made a book out of that.
Yeah, they did, man. It was that dude Odysseus.
Well, you know, speaking of books and movies or whatever, you know.
And Odysseys,
yes. I went to my parents' house on Monday night for dinner, day after the game, and I was just talking about all the negative energy in the crowd. And, you know, unless you're a child, if you grew up in New Orleans, you can remember a time when the Saints were terrible.
Yeah.
You may not have paid attention
most
as closely.
Most of the time.
Yes. And, you know, I went to a lot of games as a child where the Saints were god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
But I just... This was a new experience for me. This was a level of negativity and hostility from the crowd that I had never personally experienced. And when I was talking to my parents about this on Monday night, my mom was like, yeah, it was like in Ghostbusters 2 when the river of pink slime is running under the city. Everybody's acting like assholes.
So the Saints are the pink slime in this story. Is that what you're saying?
No, the Saints aren't the pink slime.
There's
maybe a
giant river of pink slime under the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Something bad, something supernatural is happening.
So you're telling me we would have won if somebody got on and played that song, Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher?
Yeah.
Like the dome would have gotten up on its feet.
The Benson statue would have started walking down Poydras.
It's way better than click, click, motherfucking boom.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wait. It's pull, not boom.
I thought it was boom.
It's like
you're gonna pull the trigger.
That's even worse.
Wait.
It's like
the saliva song.
Wait, is it click click?
It's
boom?
Definitely
click click, click
boom.
Boom.
Let's Mr. Producer Munson over here.
Click click boom. Let me say where.
Let's
this podcast is way better than the Saints game.
To
was.
Never talk about Saliva or their music again in any way that will ever be made public.
You will, 5 podcast penalty.
Look, dude, I thought, look, when I had Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, yeah, I thought Your Disease was an awesome song to speed away from the cops from. But I was also 12. Yeah, and it was on a police station.
If you're going to talk about the butt, I mean, at least like Hoobastank, you know. Ooh. At least a little Hoobastank.
No.
You realize that their name is literally because someone said, whose butt stinks? At really fast, and they thought they said Hoobastank.
That's
right?
Way more than I ever knew or cared to know about Hoobastank.
Well, you just don't visit their Wikipedia page often enough.
Apparently, in Baltimore, they don't say the middle consonant, so they just say Balmore.
Balmore?
And to bring it back to poop, there's a band called Balmaria.
Nice.
Yeah, seen them live at Austin City Limits. That's a thing. Mm. Wait, what you got, Will?
If it's the Saliva lyrics, it's Click Click Boom.
Yeah.
But if it's the Limp Bizkit lyrics, the song is called Click Click Pull.
I'm probably combining the wrong shitty bands together. That's what's happening.
Jeff's getting all of his 90s butt rock confused right now.
I listened to a little too much 90s butt rock back in the day, and that's probably the problem.
You're just a real 90s kid, Jeff.
I am.
We know. Can we get 106.7 The End to sponsor the podcast?
Maybe. I got some cans of Surge in the fridge.
Don't you know Sig?
I do know Sig.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that right now, though. I don't want to
Jason
name drop.
Ginty?
I know him, too, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could find these guys and bring them out of retirement.
We could get Rob Ryan. That's close enough to Rod Ryan.
What happened to Rod Ryan?
He went to Texas or something.
Yeah, he was working in Texas.
Yeah. Everybody who does well here eventually goes to Texas.
He was still on air when I was working in radio. I don't know if he still got a show or not.
Although Rob Ryan did the opposite. Went from Texas to here.
Yeah. Hey,
and
speaking
didn't
of,
do well either
way. Speaking of the terrible Saints, Rob Ryan, back next year?
Yeah, he'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard some yet. It was like, no way, brah. They ain't gonna hire him back.
People are saying they're gonna fire Peyton too. I'm like, you dumb idiots.
Fire
Peyton. No,
Peyton's
you are
already
not.
On his 4th defensive coordinator. I think Rob Ryan's gonna stick around a little bit longer than Steve Spagnuolo did.
Yeah.
So
why can't we just?
Because they had some shining moments in the last couple of weeks, despite losses. Like there's a few where I was wow, that looked pretty good. Yeah, like there's been a few times where there's some good stops, some good solid hits, good clean hits. That have been happening, they're not all bad. I think part of it is personnel, not just coaching.
I think a little bit of this year is that the guy, I mean, you know, it's like when you see what's-his-face, who went to the Texans, big D lineman, he was over at Jadeveon Clowney, right, towards the end of his time with South Carolina. He was just like, I'm not busting my ass in this game. We're clearly losing. I don't want to get hurt.
Right.
I think a lot of our guys also, fuck. I think a lot of our guys also aren't exactly playing, you know, full 60 minutes. And I don't blame them, though. Like,
why? It's tied for the division lead with 3 games to go. There's a division
saying,
title on the line.
There's times when I watch them play where the only thing I can hypothesize is just they either don't give a fuck or they're tired. And I see a lot of that. Now, they might be fatigued if they're always
I
on the field.
You know,
but,
I think
like, there's just some sloppy
I think
execution.
It's like this, and I don't want to say chicken and the egg, but, like, I think there is a catch-22, that's a better one, of, not the book, about the situation is, like, they're not playing well, and then so that makes morale go low. So then they just start feeling shitty about the game, and then there isn't that... I don't know if it's the coaching or locker room stuff or whatever, but there's nothing that's, like, making them go like they used to do. Like, the Saints would notoriously be a second-half team, do terribly first half, come back, maybe not necessarily win, but close that gap a little bit more. And I don't see that now. Like, there isn't that fire being lit under their ass during the second half. Like, I was like, you know what, maybe they'll go to the locker room at the half, they'll come back. I'm not saying they're going to win, but that 35-point deficit might turn into, like, a 10-point deficit.
It was only a 21-point deficit.
It was 35 at one point.
Not at halftime.
Well, not at half, but you know what I mean. Yeah,
I'll still say it. Like, I think when you watch Atlanta come back and try and play against Green Bay, I feel like Atlanta wants it more right now.
Atlanta, I was very surprised that they came back that much.
But Green Bay hasn't exactly been sparkling. If we could beat them.
Yeah, I was going to say the Saints beat them, so...
You know the sad thing, though, like I keep saying, Saints are still right in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on this, but I was going over some playoff projections, and I'm pretty sure that if the Saints win next week at Chicago on Monday Night Football, Tampa somehow beats Carolina, which might happen if Cam Newton's out.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh plays... Pittsburgh is playing Atlanta if Pittsburgh wins. If all those things happen, that Saints-Falcons game in the Dome in 2 weeks would be for the division title.
Okay.
Which, that would be a really fun game. Regardless of outcome, I still think it would be a fun game. Because Saints-Falcons games are always fun.
Yeah.
Like, because first of all, you have Falcons hate week leading up to it, where you can just rag on...
Is that really a thing? Like, I know about Bama hate week.
On Twitter and the internet, it is.
Well, of course, Jeff, like everything else on the internet, it's real.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to hit Roddy White where it hurts, just start talking about UAB.
Did he go to UAB?
Yes, he did.
Man, that
he's the only person who ever went to that school who I can name off the top of my head.
That's terrible.
That explains something.
That really comes down to a pissing match between old Bear Bryant's kid and somebody back in the day. You would think that if they had a good program like that, why not support your other state school? But, you know, everything rises and falls in the state of Alabama on the Crimson Tide, which...
Yep.
Speaking of programs failing at colleges, interesting article from Jarvis DeBerry on NOLA.com about basically saying that, like, with all the cuts and stuff to UNO, like, we can kiss UNO goodbye in a few years. I don't know if I hold that extreme of a view. And I know this isn't sports related because UNO doesn't really have sports. I mean, they have sports.
They got a D1 basketball team.
Yeah, the basketball team. Yeah.
Baseball.
Yeah. They got a football club.
I would think.
First thing about football club, though, is no one talks about it.
I would think, though, that that's just not going to happen. It's much more. You can't really have a major city this without a public option. It's just not going to exist.
They effectively consolidated SUNO and UNO a couple years ago. I could see that happening again, like maybe the consolidate. I don't know. It feels like it's a necessary. I could see it becoming a STEM school, just being all science and technology at some point.
That's where I was going to go. So Loyola has more or less is bleeding money left and right, and they're collapsing to the point where I've heard rumors from people who sit on the law school board. The law school is basically funding the undergraduate at Loyola, and they've talked about the possibility of keeping it as a standalone law school. And letting and just getting rid of everything else, / Tulane is the bully in the neighborhood who might buy it. And because of Hurricane Katrina, they've had a co-op. We don't see it down here, but like when you go to the Northeast and you have a lot of schools in a concentrated area, it is quite common for somebody to go to Harvard and take classes at, you know, Boston U and MIT and all that. So I would think that, all the things that are investing in UNO right now are heavy, heavy science and computing stuff.
Those are the degree programs that have some of the highest enrollment now.
And then it's generating the most money. But I'll offer a counterpoint.
But their liberal arts college used to be like one of the top ones in the state, and then they started getting budget cuts, and they got really fucked.
It used to be, but I mean, its English department was its big thing. But Tulane and LSU both have really great writers and publishing houses,
and our education department, special education and masters and any sort of education stuff, those courses have always suffered. And those are the ones that are being cut.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it makes sense, but it's also like this is a sign of things to come.
I think that's really distressing because you're going to always need to have good schools for your teachers.
And you need a commuter school as well, too. You need one that's affordable and you don't have to go, you don't have to go to LSU or Hammond or Thibodaux or, anything like that to go to an affordable school. Especially for somebody like me that's still trying to finish their degree. It's my own fault. But in my 30s, I have a job in the CBD. I'm not commuting to Hammond or Thibodaux to go to school that I can afford. Like, that's just out of the question for me.
But I don't think it would be that bad, though, to make it a STEM school.
No, I don't think that would be. It wouldn't affect me being a computer science major. I'm fine with that. Question, as a STEM school, do they still have liberal arts courses that you have to take?
Do they have what courses?
Like liberal arts courses. Do you have to take a creative writing class?
No, there's no. They would have to go through different accreditations, but Olin College of Engineering in the North just teaches engineering. Cooper Union only teaches art and engineering. You can be a specialty college. It's just when you go up for your accreditation, I don't think you could get Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. I don't think you get a SACS accreditation, But I'm sure there'll be something. I'm sure they could do something. It's just, I hate to say it, but the things that I'm thinking of that UNO is known for in the liberal arts, it's actually probably been shooting itself in the foot for a while. I mean, you had, I mean, Ambrose is dead. Mm-hmm. Their history used to be very good. Yeah. Ambrose is dead.
Yeah.
John Chase is no longer around.
They lost Bruce King, the sex guy.
Yeah. And then they lost the...
Bruce King, the sex guy. That sounds like the best late 90s comedy
ever. Did anyone
else
take Dr. King's course?
I sat in on one of his courses, one of his classes. I didn't actually take it, but it was in high school. My girlfriend was... Well, I guess it was college at the point. But my high school girlfriend, now that she was in college, was going. And I was like, yeah, I'll come sit in. I have a class. I'm off this period. And I would go, not period, but like, you know, because college doesn't have period. Anyway, so I went sat in, and it was super interesting and fun. I was, the whole time though, because I was still new in college, I was like super nervous that he was going to know I'm not in his course, even though people sat in on his class all the time because it was so interesting and fun.
Oh, he would flip out, like, if you sat in on his class and like you were talking,
yeah,
or causing a disturbance, he would flip the F out, man.
But didn't they also lose that guy who was like a noted historian of food and stuff? Misnell or whatnot.
Yeah, I know. Which Poppy, I can't remember his name, but I
Poppy
know
Tucker
talking
was
about.
Talking about him this past week. He was like the city's official po' boy historian, yeah, among other things.
Yeah, he just knows. Man, I can't think of his name, but yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I don't think it would be bad. I just think that we're gonna enter a phase where, like, higher education in New Orleans, if you want to get liberal arts degrees, you're pretty much going to Loyola and Tulane.
It's a casualty of post-Katrina modern New Orleans. Like, I mean, a lot of the neighborhoods have started reducing their footprints. I mean, you know, New Orleans East still hasn't been fully restored and won't be for a long time, if at all. And, I mean, although they are getting a hospital now, which is great. But, like, yeah, I think there's just going to be a lot of trimming the fat, so to speak, in New Orleans, which is weird because we're such a super fat town. But
yeah, but we just don't have the money for it.
Yeah.
I mean, or
the people
I love,
to sustain it.
I
really
love going
problem.
To LSU, but the truth is that LSU, as huge as it is, would not have anywhere near as many liberal arts programs if it weren't for the fact that the athletics are required to pump money into the school. You know, I was there when they had to get rid of women and gender studies, which, if you're the flagship school for the state,
mm-hmm,
I would think you'd have to have such things. But,
yeah,
you know, all this
but
really
also
comes
Louisiana,
back to
Louisiana, literally the 50th worst state to be a woman in the union. So
it literally comes back to Bobby Jindal, though, cutting everything, because he's got his fucked up experiment.
And that was interesting about the Jarvis Barrett. That's who wrote the article, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Jarvis.
The interesting thing that, and it's a thing that I've been championing ever since all these budget cuts to higher education in Louisiana started to happen, is, yeah, he's a friggin' Rhodes Scholar. Like, Bobby Jindal is a very well-educated man. And I'm not even he got a good education. I'm
you
not
don't
saying
have to, you don't have to respond to me, yeah, like, my rebuttal before I actually
wait,
gave it to you,
okay,
so go ahead.
But, like, he got to go to really good schools and had the opportunity to get very well-educated outside of Louisiana. It's just, it kills me because, like, he got afforded a good education, regardless of whatever. He got afforded a good education and has no problem denying that to literally every college student in his constituency.
Okay, it's definitely hypocritical, but let's go ahead and clear some facts. He did go to Brown. That's not part of the joke.
Yeah, no.
he went there because...
He was a
biology major.
Biology,
in fact.
Yeah.
He went there on a minority scholarship. He went to Baton Rouge Magnet in Baton Rouge, but I wouldn't call him educated. The way he's gone about this, and I hate to say it, I didn't go to an Ivy League school, but I'll tell you, you meet people who go to real Ivy Leagues, like, they don't require a core curriculum at Brown. You're not required to do all these other things. You just need to do 30 hours and whatever you want to get a degree. And he claimed that he, like, either witnessed or didn't.
The exorcism?
Did an exorcism,
yeah,
there. The truth is that he is trying to forge
some
this
biology
path
major
where he can start cutting everything and let the private sector try and do it, and it just doesn't work.
No.
You know, like, I get it to some level, and I don't want to be political, but the truth is that...
Hey, I'm
a
libertarian, and I think it's stupid.
The right now hates government overseeing thing because they think it encourages laziness, But I'm not comfortable with the Republicans doing it and putting it up to the markets, because greed shouldn't be the determining factor on how to best run a hospital, university, what have you.
Medicine and education, don't fuck with this.
I think that, you know, he can't. He's either incredibly disingenuous or he's not that smart. My money says he's not that smart.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean,
this is a weird tangent.
Like, I literally think those old dudes.
Oh, and he stopped caring about this state a long time ago. Yeah, as soon as the presidency was together in his eyes.
Oh, no, like, they just. You didn't see the documentary. They had him in a chair. They like strung his eyes wide open. Something about a milk bar or something, and just made him watch a bunch of like Republican propaganda films on repeat. That's why he doesn't like
those
Mozart
damn drugs.
I literally think the conversation when they had to come up with him for a nominee is they looked at Murphy Foster and his boys in Baton Rouge and like, you know, the Democrats got a woman. What are we going to do? We're going to lose. And then like Murphy probably drunk and was like, let's get that brown boy. You know, the one that gets us all our stuff. Because when you look at what his resume was, they say, oh, he did really well at Department of Health and Hospitals. No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He cut the budget. And what that entitled, when you really, like, when it wasn't just numbers
and
on
also
page.
Also for veterans as well, which a lot of conservatives seem to forget in this state, which they're always like, veterans, veterans! It's like, Bobby cut a lot of the funding for veterans affairs and hospitals, and like, well, he banned abortion, basically. Like that. Yeah.
But
it's like, give me my hood!
His big thing was, I made the department run better. No, you didn't. You took a 40-year-old dude who might have had the mental capacity of a 12-year-old, and you dumped him out on the street. Yeah, you save $5,000 a year, but like, you're putting people who can't take care of themselves
but
out
like,
there.
It could be David Bitter also.
Yeah, I mean, it's one giant.
That's a whole other episode.
But speaking of like hating on douchebags, let's go ahead and talk about what was said by that quarterback for the Carolina Panthers at the game.
Oh, you mean Cam Newton?
Yeah. One of us was going to bring it up. It was noted that I believe he told someone, I'm going to fuck you up worse than Katrina.
Right.
Which everybody's saying, oh, it's karma now, which shows how little any of us understand karma to begin with, because that's not how it works. But he got in an accident.
It's his
on Tuesday.
Would be a way to say that.
That is
his
definitely one way of saying it. I was shocked because
not that I agree.
At first I was like, oh my God, I hope he's okay. And then I thought it belied his lack of talent because I was thinking to myself, only Cam Newton can find it a way to turn it over three times on a Tuesday. When there's
that's
no game.
Terrible. Luckily he is okay and I can laugh at that joke. Well, that's the thing. I said it on Twitter too and I was like, well, now that I found out that his injuries aren't life-threatening, is it okay for me to say it sucks that the Saints and Panthers already played? Like, because then there wouldn't have been Cam Newton. That fight wouldn't have happened. Although we might not have had all the interceptions that happened.
No, he's not starting this Sunday.
He's not Anderson, is it?
Derek Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, this
former
is
Oregon State Beaver Derek Anderson.
This is true. This is why I thought it was pretty much precluded that we were done, because as of right now, don't we have the same conference record as Atlanta, and I'm assuming they're just going to steamroll the Panthers. So basically, unless the Panthers won, I felt like in the same way he thought, well, yeah, we're going to beat, you know, the Panthers. Wait, the second time?
This was the second time.
Yeah, this is the second one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your joke. I thought it was just pretty much a given that Atlanta's going to steamroll them. So even if we had the same record as Atlanta, they would have the conference and the go-ahead.
Well, yeah, I think the this loss by the Saints against Carolina put them at a disadvantage in the second tiebreaker department, which is the division record.
Okay. Yeah, Atlanta has more divisional wins than
so
the Saints. Right,
the only way that the Saints can win the division is to finish a game ahead of Atlanta.
Okay.
So, three games to go. Saints need to pick up at least two of those games. So
it's possible.
Assuming Atlanta keeps winning. And one of the games has to be against Atlanta. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think of Saints versus Atlanta for the second round? What do you think? I mean, it's probably a toss-up at this point.
I'll have to wait and see how they play Monday night
against
Chicago.
I'm not feeling that.
I mean, if they come out flat like they did on Sunday,
barring some injury where a lot of their first stringers can't play, Yeah, I of course want the Saints to win against the Falcons, but I'm not feeling as like, yeah, that's probably good. Yeah, I don't feel like, oh, hell yeah, that's going to happen like I usually am. I'm kind of just like, yeah, it'd be nice.
I think I'm treating it like the season's a wash. I'm just going to watch games and have
fun. Just have a good time, you know? I don't have a fantasy team, so all I can do is just watch and go, all right.
I started doing that with LSU, which I'm super not thrilled about them playing Notre Dame again, but, you know.
Why? Notre Dame sucks.
Notre Dame does suck, but, like, do we Notre have Dame to might really...
Notre Dame, as you would say.
Exactly, but, like,
you know, of all Notre people, Dame, you hate Notre Dame, Notre Dame just as much as anyone else I know.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's like the boogeyman. If we stop believing in Notre Dame, maybe it'll stop existing and go away. You know? And that's when I, like...
Fair point.
We shouldn't be playing...
No, no, that's a terrible mythology. Point. Because if we watch any Freddy Krueger sequel, we keep that's pretending like it doesn't exist. That's and then it keeps
boogeyman.
Returning.
That's not the boogeyman.
He basically is the boogeyman.
No, that's not
he
the boogeyman.
He has a lot of similar characteristics.
Yeah, he's... But, no.
How is he not the boogeyman? He attacks kids in their dreams.
He's literally not the boogeyman.
No, he literally stopped them in the first one by just pretending like he didn't exist. No. And then they made
the boogeyman is a separate monster. Freddy Krueger is closer to Bill Cosby in that he creeps on you while you sleep. You know?
I don't understand.
To be fair, most of the kids in Freddy Krueger are not waitresses.
You really don't understand the Bill Cosby joke?
I don't know why Freddy Krueger's like Bill Cosby.
They both creep on you while you're asleep. It's just one knocks you out, and the other one just happens to wait till you sleep.
So Freddy Krueger just slips kids pills and knocks them out?
I didn't say that, dude. I didn't say that he did that. I said one of those two did, because we don't want to be sued by Dr. Bill Cosby. No.
Based off of allegations, he would drug women.
I said based off of allegations. He can't go allegedly at this point. What are we, like 23 people in, and there's somebody filing a lawsuit in Los Angeles?
You just said we can't say a thing because of legal issues, and so I said it in the most legal way possible.
I'll do it. I'll risk a license. Bill Cosby probably did that shit.
Cosby did some of that shit.
Should we give Hannibal Buress props for pretty much taking him down?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he kind of did it.
Well, all right. So I was actually listening to Patton Oswalt on Pete Holmes's podcast, You Made It Weird. And he was talking about it. This was it was recorded a while back, not too long after the Hannibal Buress thing. And he was basically saying, like, and it's true. If you're a comedy nerd or you're in the comedy scene, you've known about this forever.
I've heard it goes beyond that. Like, somebody... all the little like news aggregators were actually going back over it and showing where there were like jokes in like 40 Rock.
Oh yeah,
where like Tracy Morgan was like, Bill Cosby, how dare you talk to me after you did that to my aunt? And then like, you know, they played it off. But
that's because he's in the kind like he know. But it's one of those. It's the elephant in the room that people would point out all the time, but America as viewers and fans would go, but he was. The TV dad, that was so nice. And a doctor.
But when we live in a world where people would literally sell secrets to, like, the Inquirer, and more recently when you had somebody like, what's that dude who ran, not TMZ, Perez Hilton, when he was basically getting in trouble because he was forcibly outing celebrities to help the gay cause, like, why is there nobody in Hollywood who can just say, fuck it, this dude's a rapist? Like,
well, I think there were. Like, it was just that nobody was believing it. And nobody was believing the women either. And now they are, because our culture now is more attuned to being supportive to rape victims or victims of any sort of physical or sexual crime. Because I think years ago it was so taboo to talk about. But now we're looking at it, especially because we also have video evidence of beloved people doing this or people that are looked up to, like athletes and things like that. We have video evidence. So now it's not out of the realm of possibility. Now we're like, okay, wait, this happened with so-and-so? Yeah, actually, it could make sense to Bill Cosby. And also because back in the day, there was like maybe only a handful of women, whereas now there are literally almost two dozen.
Yeah.
So, and as Patton Oswalt was saying on Pete Holmes' podcast, at the time, he was like 13 women. He said, that means there's hundreds. Because if only 13, are having the guts to come out and say it, there's way more.
The rest
there's
way more. Have a sense of shame.
Right.
I think I'm going to hold my judgment on it. I think we're in a period where all this is transitioning.
So LSU, anything on LSU?
Miles to Michigan, bro.
Again.
Kirk Herbstreit's not on it yet. but
Ronnie at Pub Zero.
Ronnie at Pub Zero assures me that this is a done deal. The AD at Michigan is definitely interested in Les Miles after they offered David Cutcliffe, the head coach at Duke, the job, and he turned it down.
Which is hilarious to hear about. But, you know, I did see Ronnie the other day at the log, and Ronnie was telling me...
This is not Ronnie Lamarck.
No.
No, this is just Ronnie, bro.
He's Ronnie Lamarck. This is Metri Ronnie. Metri Ronnie.
He's Ronnie Lamarck in that he just loves the shit out of everything in Louisiana.
Forerunner for new LSU coaches. Ready for it? John Gruden.
Oh, I knew it.
Wait, can you guess the second one?
I'm going to say Nick Saban.
No.
Oh.
Jack Del Rio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The ghost of Christmas past. Every time somebody says new coach, somebody's like, you know, Jack Del Rio lives in New Orleans and his kids go to LSU.
You know his daughter went to LSU.
Yeah, brah. But I don't, you know, I'll be okay with him beating the shit out of Notre Dame beating the shit out of the Boogeyman and the, what is it, the Music City Bowl?
Yes. Trying to remember the sponsor's name, but no, it's in Nashville.
As of 4 hours ago, according to Detroit News, Michigan has, in fact, contacted Miles' agent.
Let's start off with the fact that your source is Detroit News, and last time I checked, Detroit was not a city so much as
nuclear Detroit!
Yeah, a nuclear fallout. Like I'm pretty sure the four of us have twice as much staffers as Detroit News. I don't see him leaving. He's, you know, because he signed that contract to get him all the way. If he finishes out winning 8 games a year on the contract as it's extended through, 2018, I believe, he'll be the winningest coach both by percentage and all time. But he will overtake Doc McClendon.
You know, if he's only winning 8 games a year, though, I don't think he's going to stick around that long. I think they'll push him out.
I think it's his fault, though, man. Like, you really... Wait. Whoa, that's big.
What?
You think if he keeps staying at 8-9 games a year...
Yeah, it's like he got down to 8 this year. They won 9 last year, I think. And, you know, back in 2011, they won... 13 games.
So give me some non Ronnie advice. Who do you really think would take the coaching gig?
I hadn't even thought about it, man.
Sorry, I was reading Les Miles' tweet about RoboCop the movie.
Wait, share it with the audience.
Is it really Les Miles? By the way, is amazing.
Les Miles tweeted back in February about RoboCop. Night.
Was
dot,
it him?
Dot, dot.
Yeah, it's him.
Boys pick, dot, dot, dot. A very quality RoboCop.
Very quality RoboCop.
Somehow maneuvered. Endless love. Not the same. Victory Girls Club, Les Miles. That's what it says.
Oh, yeah. See, that was the thing earlier, because Les Miles' Twitter account is badly run by some little kid partially at Tiger Athletic. The only time it's Les is when the LM's on it. And I didn't realize this. I was listening to Rogan and Bill Burr earlier today talk about Bill Burr's new stand-up. Mm-hmm. And they were saying...
I haven't finished watching it. I got about half
the new thing is if you're quasi-famous, like when Arsenio Hall got his new show, part of the contract was they had to allow a staffer on it access to his Twitter account so they
could. That's nothing new, though. They've been doing that for years, though.
Yeah, but I didn't know about it, and I'm just saying I didn't realize it until I looked at Les Miles' account that only about half of it is actually Les Miles, and he signs it LM when it's himself.
Yeah.
It's like Obama does B.O.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But there's probably like...
Which, that might even still not be him. Like, he might have went, yes, that's what I would say.
Well, they probably go through, he probably looks at it, but he also probably submits it to people, and they kind of review it, too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff they're trying to get, set, some kind of, cohesive voice, but his is, LSU Les Miles. He's an ambassador at the time of the brand, so you got to make sure that all that is taken into place when you do it, because the last thing you want is him to get drunk one night at Bulldog in Baton Rouge and just going off on some shit.
Dude, when you make that kind of money, you don't go drink at a bar.
No.
You have a bar in your house.
He's a good family man, okay? And I don't think he's going to uproot his family, which is entrenched in Baton Rouge.
His wife's a sweetheart. I met him numerous times while working at Massey's up there.
He's still got I know his kid Manny. I don't know him, but I know he was finishing up at U-High. I think he might have just graduated, or he's going to graduate in the spring or something. But he's still got a couple of younger kids, and I feel like he's the type of person that wouldn't uproot his family like that.
I don't think he. I mean, yeah, he's no Nick Saban, but well, riddle me this. I don't think Cam Cameron was the way to go, honestly, this past year, and unless they're willing to put Brandon Harrison, I don't see it getting any better. Do you think there's any shot that we could wind up shipping him off and getting either a new quarterback's coach? Because I know Craig Thorpe came in, but correct me if I'm wrong, he's got some degenerative disease that he's going to kind of be on the way.
Yeah, well, Craig Thorpe's not coming back in. But anything's possible. I don't see him getting rid of Cam Cameron, but... You know, this LSU team has a little bit of an identity crisis on offense. And, you know, they've been through several different coordinators over the past few years. I think this is Miles' third or fourth coordinator. And, you know, it all goes back to the fact that it seems like we can never recruit a quality quarterback. But even if you get a quarterback with some talent in there, you can never figure out what the offensive game plan is, what the season game plan is going to be, if that makes sense. You know, are we a spread team? Are we a power team? You know, how come we just can't get a quarterback that'll run the offense that we need, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe we probably need to take the kind of money we spent on Javis and find a guy now. Do we do what Alabama does and get somebody who's fallen from grace and grab, like, a Lane Kiffin? Which probably should have happened all along. Lane Kiffin was probably not good enough to take over his own team and really run it.
Or do you do what Auburn does and buy a guy like Cam Newton?
Oh, ice cold. I don't even know what to do with that. Well, hockey starting, basketball's here, man.
Anthony Davis, man. Dude, you gotta give Anthony Davis some props.
AD!
I'm so over basketball. I'm more looking at it like, fuck, I've got to sit in traffic to get home.
Bro, they beat the Knicks, man, last night.
Yeah.
The Knicks are terrible.
Yeah, and that's not a bragging thing, you know?
They beat the Lakers by 20 points. The Lakers are terrible, too.
Look, dude, you know the Knicks are terrible when the royal couple flies in, and instead of staying at Madison Square Garden and going to a Knicks game,
they went to Brooklyn.
They went
man.
All the fuck way out to Brooklyn. Yeah, like
that's how you know it's hip, man.
Or either that, or maybe they got some deal Russian oligarch that they need to like fucking.
Did you see
his own team?
Did you see all these Brits are very upset that LeBron James touched Kate Middleton?
Really?
There's a picture of LeBron James with his arm around Kate Middleton. You know, posing for a picture.
Oh, because that doesn't sound racist.
That's my first thought. But they're very upset across the pond, as they would say, that this bloke touched their princess.
I mean, whatever, it's made up. It's not a real crown anyway. It's German sitting on the fucking England throne. I don't want to hear shit about that. Like, you know, what are they, Mountbatten's or whatever?
I just can't wrap my head around why anybody cares about them, let alone the millions of people that actually care about them.
Well, you see, England doesn't do a lot of good things well, or a lot of things well, period. So they keep pets, and their pets are called the royals. They pay them a lot of money to be adorable, and every once in a while do a politically incorrect thing, like when Harry showed up and wore a Nazi outfit to Halloween.
Yeah, it was kind of messed up.
Yeah, so it's...
I feel like he and the Bush daughters would have gotten along.
There was probably some interesting parties during those years. Yeah, actually, somebody, some columnist, Dan Savage was talking about it. Some conservative blogger, blah, 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 BS, was making fun of the Obama daughters and saying...
Yeah, it was
Look
a
like
congressional
you're...
staffer.
And yeah.
She resigned like a couple
yeah.
days later.
Oh, yeah, no,
Twitter.
She resigned the next day, and they pretty much, you know, she's like, after praying to God, I realized I was an asshole. And he was like, really? Jesus needed to come to you. Not only did Jesus fail you and come after the point, but he needed to come down and say, hey, bro, I think you're being an asshole right now. Like, while the Bush daughters were like, oh, what? Stumbling out of a limo, like, with Coke in their nose. Like, oh, yeah,
what?
First daughters.
Barf.
All right, well, with some local stuff going on, I know next Thursday we got Tales of the Toddy coming up.
mm-hmm.
which is great. Tickets, $40 on cocktail.com. Or talesofthecocktail.com, sorry. But I know there's some discount codes on their Facebook page. They did a great Black Friday deal where it was like $26. But if you go on their Facebook, I know they've been doing a few discount codes here and there. But I know
does that include the drinks or
that's drinks and food included. Like food, like Cannon Table's gonna be out there.
What to steal?
Mofo's gonna be out there.
Nice.
They got toddies at Mofo?
I don't know that I would want
to have they got food. They're doing
I don't know
food.
That I would want Vietnamese food with winter warmer alcohol beverages, but we'll see how they do it.
They got po' boys too.
Yeah.
They do.
And their po' boys are good.
I know, but I'm just thinking that's not exactly what you want with that.
They got like fried oyster, though.
But wait. Yeah. We got Dave Chappelle tomorrow night and Friday.
Yeah, I'll be there.
But this isn't going to come out by the time that comes out.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Just roll with it. What else we got? I mean, it's kind of a big deal that Dave Chappelle's popping in here. I don't think I've ever seen him do a gig here yet.
Much less y'all know anything several about? In the same night.
Yeah. Well, because, they kept adding because it kept selling out.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Because
this will come out after the show. Man, that Dave Chappelle show was really fun. Enjoyed that the other night.
Great time.
Had a good time. Had a couple of drinks.
He had a lot
bunch
of
laughs.
Insert joke here.
Oh, that one about was amazing.
I love the one about white people. That was so good.
And the one about like where people were freaking out when he went into like hiding for a while.
Yeah. Wait. Also, we got a bunch of Christmas stuff. They decorated the Roosevelt. They decorated
the
French Quarter.
I was there the other day. It was very nice.
And you got Christmas in the Oaks.
Yeah, that's coming up. Celebration
of
the
stuff.
Oaks, man.
So go out and have some fun. Peace. We're going to go ahead and sign off.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Goshen.
I'm Matt.
Will.
I'm Jacob, and this has been a 5-yard penalty for delay of game. See y'all next week.
Not that fucking siren. Seguindo a doutrina do grande Selassie, chamando.